can really relate to what Paul shared. Thanks, Paul, for sharing that. That was good. That was good.
We should have just had him preach tonight.
So I want to read a passage of scripture here. This is something that I've never preached on before, never shared this subject before, but I want to cover it. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says this: humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your cares or your anxieties on him, because he, what? Say it again. Because he cares for you. Something key here that we can remember in verse 6, because 6 and 7, really, when you look at this scripture, we like to claim the promise that God gives us peace. But the scripture promises us that if we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, his mighty hand. Everybody say mighty. Because he is mighty. He is a mighty God. And what he says, he will do, including everything that Paul was talking about tonight. God says that there will come a day when the dead in Christ will rise, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord near. That's a promise from God. His hand is mighty. He can still do it, church. He can still do it. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about tonight, about something that maybe it's difficult for you. Maybe you struggle with this. I struggle with this. I've been where Paul was talking about. I've been at that place where I was so depressed. I was ready to end my life. I was ready to just cash it in. And if I could have found some nerve, some way to do it, I would have did it. But the scripture tells us here that we are to cast all of our cares, all of our anxieties, all of our heaviness, all of our burdens. And unfortunately, in our lives as Christians, we seem to come short of that in so many ways. But it's a promise that God gave us in the scriptures that he says you can come and you can humble yourself and you can cast your heaviness, you can cast your anxieties upon the Lord, and he will take them from you. Church, amen. He will take them from you. That's his promise. You know, that word there, not, and probably a lot of you look and say, Brian, why are you always looking up words? Because it fascinates me to look up some of these words and see what they really meant. But that word is only used, that word cast, is only used one other time, and that was when all the disciples and all the people took their garments and they cast them on that donkey when Jesus rode it. And so we have to learn to completely cast our cares upon the Lord. Every burden, every worry. I know I'm talking to somebody tonight. I'm talking to me. But we need to learn to cast our burdens upon the Lord, because life can get heavy. I've said this before, I'll say it again, I'm no prophet. We don't know what this year holds. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But we know that Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, trouble, anxieties, fears, worries. Things will come. We're going to go through troubles. But he says, what? Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. I have overcome it. And so we need to learn to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. Something that's easily said, hard to do. And I find that, we'll get into that here in a minute, but so tonight we're going to bring all of our cares to the Lord. We're going to bring all of our anxieties, all of our worries, all of our fears, and all of our wants. This is what God's desire is. This is his plan for us, is to give all these things to him. Amen? During Christmas season this year, and like every year, we hear the Christmas story. I sat down with my grandchildren and my children that were waiting. But they have to listen to Grandpa first before they get to open all their presents. So they're like, come on, Grandpa, just get it over with. And I usually would read the Christmas story to them. But I says, you don't need to hear that. You've all been in Christmas programs this year. You know the story. But I says, I want to talk to you about something. And I says, when the angel, and you can put it up there Rocky, in Luke 2:14, when the angels appeared to the shepherds out in the field that night on earth. What?
Peace.
Goodwill toward men. That means you. That means me. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Up until that time, all peace was temporary. But Jesus said that he came to give us a peace that was permanent, a peace that the world can't give, and the world cannot take it away from us. And I know that you struggle with this. Some of you are way better at it than others. Some of you are really, 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 really laid back. Some of you are too laid back for me. But I like getting around people that are laid back because it helps me relax. But I know that you struggle with these things because I struggle with them, and you've got the same human spirit that I have. As we wrestle with these things. But peace on earth, goodwill toward men. God promises you and I peace. Can I hear an amen? He promises us peace. John 14:27, and I'll just have Rocky put it up there. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Church, what a promise. How many have been through something and you just wanted the peace of heaven so bad, and at times it seemed like you could not find it? I've been there. It's a horrible feeling. But yet he promises, he says, I leave you with my peace. My peace I give to you. Not like the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled or be afraid. Now, I know that he was preparing them for what he was about to go through and how the soldiers were about to come and they would all flee. He was preparing them for that. But God is preparing us for things that are coming. John 16:33 says this, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have. We should probably say it out loud like we mean it.
Peace.
So that we would have peace. Yeah, not turmoil, but peace. Because in this world, we're going to have trouble. There's turmoil in this world right now. We've never been so divided. We've never had so many troubles. We have never seen things going across. And information travels so fast that you can't keep up with it. And yet God says he wants to give us peace. Now, that's exciting.
Yes.
God wants us to have his rest. Amen? Okay. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take courage because I've overcome the world. I know I already said that. I remember a time a number of years back when I, all of a sudden, I had a panic attack. Anybody ever had one? Okay, I'm in the right group here. I had a panic attack, and I'll tell you what, I had incredible peace. I was just minding my own business, and my mind, I let my mind wander, and I had a panic attack, and I found myself, I went up the stairs, I went into my bedroom, and I fell on the floor. And I said, Jesus, I don't know where this came from, but I want you to send it back wherever it came from. I refuse to have this. And that terror, that agony, that anxiety left me. It lifted off of me, for which I'm grateful. I was looking recently at a picture of myself when I was a young man. I'm young now, but I was younger then. And you know, I marveled at that picture, and I recognized about the age I was. I was freshly saved. And I had the most peaceful-looking face. The glow of God was on my face. If a camera can capture the glow of heaven on us, it did on that one, because I had absolutely perfect peace. But where did it go? Where did that peace go? We can lose the peace of heaven in our lives, church. It's there. It's offered to us. He's giving it to us, but we can lose the hold on that. Yes? We can lose the hold on that. But God promises us peace. He absolutely promises us peace. I remember back in the day, I used to have a little wooden thingy-dealy. It said joy. It was just a little wooden plaque. And I put a string on it, and I tied it to my rearview mirror in my truck. And I would drive around, and I would twist and turn, and I'd be bringing stuff in. And my truck is a mess. If you got in there, you would be aghast to see my truck. And I got in there, and it would drop, or the string would break, and I would lose my joy. And I would find that thing and put it back up there. Tonight, God wants us to find our peace and put it back up there. He wants us to cast all of our cares on Him because He cares for us. Amen? That's what the Lord does. Isaiah 9:7 says this, "For unto us a child is born." I know we know these scriptures, but we need to go over this. "To us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince, the Prince of Peace." So let me ask a question tonight, since that's the way Jesus taught. Do you have the Prince of Peace living in you tonight? Is He dwelling there? He wants to give us peace. Yes, He's there. If we've believed, if we're saved, if we're born again, we have the Prince of Peace living in us. And He wants to give us that peace. You know, it says of the increase of His government and of His peace. His peace, there will be no end. Peace, church, that will carry us through the hardest of times. Peace that will carry you through the turmoil. When you think you can't live and you can't go on, there's a peace there for us that God says He gives to us because He's the Prince of Peace. And the increase of it, we can increase and know the peace of God in our lives more and more and more every day as we go on. But we have to pursue it. The scripture says to seek peace, pursue it. Amen. That's what it says. Psalm 29:11 says this, "The Lord will bless His people with peace." Isaiah 57:19 says, "Peace, peace to those that are far away and to those that are near, says the Lord." God is saying to us tonight, peace. Phil, He's telling us peace. Peace. Peace with Him. All of our sins have been washed away. If we're in Christ, we've been forgiven. All of our yesterday, all of the regret of yesterday, and that's what yesterday holds, our regrets. Today holds our stress. The future holds our worries, but Jesus holds our peace. He is our peace. Amen. He's broken down every wall, every barrier. I mean, I think that's scriptural, that He is our peace. He has broken down every wall. It's in there somewhere. Isaiah 53:5 says this, "He was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment for our peace was upon Him." And by His wounds, we are healed. I believe the Lord is speaking peace to us tonight. Peace for the days ahead. Peace for what's to come in our life. Peace for what is coming in the world this year and in the years to come. God is saying to us, peace. We can have peace. We simply have to know our God. And so I want to get back here to this subject, casting all your cares on Him because He cares for you. And so we ask the question, maybe you're here tonight and you're in the thick of it. You're going through something and you're thinking, yeah, I know, but does He really care? Does He really care about what I'm going through? Is He really moved with the feeling of my infirmity? Does He really love me? Did God really so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But did he really so love you? Can you put your name in there? Can I put my name in there and say, God so loved Brian that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe on him will not perish, but have ever. Would God really do that? Does he really still love me that way? Harley mentioned something here Sunday. God has not changed his mind about you. How bad of a girl you've been. How bad of a boy we've been. God doesn't change his mind about us. His love is the same. Regardless, he still loves us, church. He loves us and he wants us to have perfect peace. So you can smile about it. Because it is exciting. It's powerful. I want to read this. I know this is so familiar. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know my thoughts concerning who?" Yeah. Somebody else? No, he says, "I know my thoughts concerning you. Thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." That's powerful. That is amazing. It really is. That God knows his thoughts about you. Every single thought. You may be in the thick of things right now. You may have messed up. You may have, pardon the expression, you may have literally just screwed up. But God says, "I know my thoughts about you. They're thoughts of good and not of evil. I have good thoughts towards you, a restoration of all the promises that I want to bring forth in your life. My thoughts are more than the sands of the sea about you. All good, nothing bad." God is not looking at you or me tonight and saying, "Boy, you know that dirty, rotten. You know, first chance I get to wham them, I'm going to wham them. First chance that I get and they screw up, I'm laid a snare for them and I'm going to get them." But let me ask you something. Is that God? But yet we think that. We think that way. We think God's out to get us, that he's out to punish us, when no, he says, "Hey, the thoughts I have for you are only good, not of evil. I want to give you a future and a hope." You may have messed up. You're here tonight and you say, "Brian, I've messed up 110 times. God has not changed his mind about you. Steve, you're still going to sing that solo, brother. Amen. So we want to remember that. Romans 8. Paul talked about this last week. I want to read it because it's worth reading. I know it's long. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us," and that's the question we have to answer tonight, "is God for me? Or is he against me?" No, he says, if God is for us, who is against us? It's not God. If all those thoughts that we're having are filling us with negativity, maybe we need to have another thought. Right? Yeah, we do. Okay. "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all. How will he not freely give us all things?" Everything he's promised for our life. "Who will bring charges against God's elect? Christ Jesus is he. He who died, but rather was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us." That's powerful. "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? With tribulations? Trouble? Persecutions? Famine? Nakedness? Danger? Sword?" And yet we think all these things in our mind. We think about all these things. That what trouble am I in for now? What's up? What's coming around the corner? What's coming at me? Man, my family, I want to tell you something. My family is paranoid. We are absolutely paranoid. We are worry warts. We worry about every single thing. Lisa's family. And that's why the Lord hooked me up with Lisa, because that's not her. That's not her at all. You know, I was thinking about what Kirsten said tonight. Oh, I'd rather tell it to Jesus. He lives to make intercession for me. He lives to intercede with the Father for me. I'd rather tell him than tell my problems. What? No, I'm not taking away from that. Sometimes we need to go talk to somebody. We need to tell people. But I'd rather tell it to Jesus because I know he understands. I know he cares. How many have ever heard that old song, Does Jesus Care? Anybody? A couple of you? Okay. All right. Well, I won't read it. But I'll tell you, he does. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulations, trouble, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, church, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us and loves us tonight. And I'll tell you what, you will conquer in the days to come. You will conquer in the days to come. Amen. You will overcome. All right? We are not undertakers. We are overcomers. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We hang on. We hold on to Jesus. We walk with him. We walk in his peace. And anxiety has to go. And so we're going to talk about that here in a minute, but I want to just read you one more verse. God talked to Moses about bringing the people into the promised land, and when he did in Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy, when he told them he was going to bring them into this land, can you back up to verse 11? Because I want you to see the contrast here tonight. Boy, I need to hear this. I so need to hear this tonight. For my own life. Though not verse 11 of Luke 8. But Deuteronomy chapter, what is it? Where were you? Deuteronomy, oh yeah, here we go. This is us before we knew Jesus. The land into which you, oh no. Excuse me, go to the verse 10, can you? Sorry about that. For the land into which you are entering to possess is not like the land of Egypt. That's the world. From which you came, where you used to sow your seed and water it with your foot like a vegetable garden. All the works of our flesh, everything that we can do, us trying to figure out our problems, us trying to work ourselves out of our worries, we're always trying to come up with an answer to get out of the trouble that we're in. That's the way it is. When we don't know Christ. And sometimes when we're not in Christ, when we're in our flesh. You see, because the mindset on the flesh is, it's death, it's sin, yes, it's death. But the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. It's life and peace, joy, yes. You got peace, you got joy. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. The kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but it is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. But then here, this is us now. This is how God looks at us. A land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it. It's always on you. His eyes are always on you. From the beginning to the end, his eyes are always on us, always caring for us. I don't know if you all just ate too much of my wife's dinner or what. That was pretty good, wasn't it? That was good. Whew. But God says we can bring our fears, our torments, because that's what fear is, it's torment. That's what anxiety is, it's torment. How many would agree with me? Anxiety is absolute torment to our life, and we want to be free from it. We don't want to walk in it. I can't remember the guy's name. Maybe Paul would remember it, or one of you. He was dubbed, back in the 1930s, he was dubbed like the greatest evangelist in the world. He was the world's evangelist. He was like Billy Graham. I can't remember the guy's name, but to India. Huh? Not Billy Sunday. He became a missionary to India. But his trip to India, he got there, and he had anxiety so bad came over him that he had to leave. He had to go back home. And he got to the States, and the doctor said, you have to rest for a year just to get back. This is how heavy his anxiety was over who knows what. His health had so depleted, they said, you need to rest for a year. He rested for a year, and he went back to India, and the anxiety came on him again. And he said, as he was in prayer, God spoke to him. And he says, are you ready for the work that I've called you to do? And he said, no, Lord. I am completely depleted of all my resources. And God said, if you will put your eyes on me, I will supply you with all you need, and you will not have to worry about this again. And he says, at that moment, I said, Lord, I make the bargain now. He went on to reach hundreds of thousands of souls in India. It's for us too, church. We're no different. We can give all these things to the Lord. And lastly, I want to talk about these things that we call just the little things of life, the little cares, the stuff that Jesus talked about. How many know what I'm talking about? Like, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to live? How much money am I going to make? Am I going to make enough money? Yeah. Things like that, the ones that Jesus warned us about. Remember Matthew chapter 6? Maybe you can bring that up. Don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. If we're treasuring up the world in our heart, we're going to have turmoil. And we're going to lose the peace of heaven. But if we treasure up the kingdom of heaven, if we seek him first, and that's coming up in the next verse or verses, Rocky, then that's what we'll have. We will have peace. We will have the peace of heaven. For this reason, I say to you, don't be worried about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, for your body as to what you're going to put on. Isn't life more than food? And the body more than clothing? I know we all know this, but look at the birds of the air. They don't sow. I sat and I marveled at that one day. I thought, God, what a worrywart I am. What a fretter I am. Look at the bird. I was looking at a sparrow. It's like, my goodness sakes, God, your eye is on the sparrow. Oh, me. Oh, me. Look at how simple it is. How simple living in life. And we make it so complicated. So complicated. This is not a lecture tonight. I want to encourage you tonight. I believe the Lord wants us to cast our cares on him, to lay all of our burdens down at his feet. I've been singing that song all day. I'll cast all my cares on you. I'll lay all my burdens down at your feet. And any time I don't know what to do, I'll cast all my cares upon you. And leave them with him. There's where we struggle. Yes, it is. It's mine too. We struggle with these things. I struggle with my children. I have a hard time. I think my wife has a harder time. Because we love them so much. We care about them. These things that are close to us, that we hold dear to us. Some of them are good concerns. But we've got to learn to bring them to the Lord. Got to learn to bring those cares and those concerns, because he hears us. He cares. He really cares. Amen. He really does. Yeah. Jesus talked about in Luke 8:14. I don't know if you want to go there up on the board there, but Luke 8:14. Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower.
And he says, the seed that was sown or fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries. Because the reason I want to just touch on this for a minute, because I was digging in the word. I was digging in the Greek. And I chased this word back, this word cares, this word anxiety. I chased it back a couple of words. It actually comes from a word that means to be distracted, to get distorted, to lose your focus. And that's what the cares of life do. That's what riches do. That's what the worries of life do. That's what the desire for other things are. It's a distraction. The devil uses these things to keep us away from peace with God, to have peace. God wants us to have peace. Thank you, Lord. I just thank you, Jesus. I just thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. All right. Jesus said, I know we passed it up. I didn't read all of that, but Jesus said about all these things in life that we worry about. He says, for all these things the Gentiles seek after. Gentiles, I mean, one translation says it this way. Gentiles are those without God. And sometimes I live my life like I am without God. I worry. I get anxieties. I get my focus on the wrong thing. The worries of life choke out the fruitfulness of what God wants to do in your life and my life. Amen? Boy, it's so true. It's so true. Because Jesus said what? He says, don't worry about all these things. If you can't change the smallest thing, why do you worry about those things? You can't add one moment to your life. Well, that gives me a good excuse not to exercise. I'll tell that to the doctor next week. And so he says, seek first the what? Thank you for your hearty response. How many ever heard of George Mueller? Anybody? George Mueller, German immigrant, left Germany, came to England because that they had the Mission Society there, and if you wanted to go in a mission field, you went through the Mission Society because they would raise funds for you. He met a guy. He ended up marrying the guy's sister. He didn't know it at the time, but he met this guy, and the guy wanted to go to Persia, which is modern-day Iran. And he never got the support, and he left, and he told George Mueller, he says, I'm leaving. He says, where are you going? He says, I'm going to Persia. He goes, oh, you got your support? He says, no, I'm going by faith. God told me to go, I'm going. And he went, and he was so impressed by that. And George Mueller at the time was working, and he was pastoring a small church, and he decided, one day he says, from now on, I'm going to depend on you. He told the church, he said, no longer am I going to take an offering. He says, I'm going to put a box back there. We're going to lock it with and we're going to drill a hole in it. You put your offerings in there. And at the end of the month, I'll live on whatever comes out of there. He trusted the Lord, and God always provided. He ended up starting an orphanage, taking care of children. He raised on an average in his prime, walking with Jesus, back in the I think it was the 1800s. Am I wrong, Paul? Somewhere, $200,000 a year. That's a lot of money. Can you imagine? Never took an offering. Never asked for money. There were times when there was nothing. They would go to prayer, and a knock would come on a door and say, I just felt impressed. We got all this stuff in our store. We're going to bring it all we want. You know, can the kids use this food? They'd have milk truck break down in front of the house.
The guy would knock on the door and say, hey, my truck has broke down here and all this milk is going to go to waste. Do you think your kids could use it? And they had just got done praying, asking God for something for the kids. If he cares that way for those kids, do you think he cares that way about us? Yeah. Remind me tomorrow, okay? I'll expect the phone call. Proverbs 12:25 says this. I'm going to end here in a minute. Proverbs 12:25 says this. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. It weighs it down, but a good word like peace I give to you makes it glad. A good word. Which one will we focus on? Our problem, our worry, or that good word, my peace I give to you? Not as the world gives do I give to you, but my peace. Very important. Again, in 1 Peter 5:7, J.B. Phillips' translation says this, and I don't think you can put that one up there, but Phillips says it this way. You can throw the whole of your weight of all your anxieties upon him. You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him because you are his personal concern. Think about it. Something to think about tonight. Just wanted to give you something to think about. So I want to ask you the question, and then I'm going to answer it for you. But how do we do that? How do we cast all our cares on him? Brian, it's easier said when you're in the throw of things and you're gripped with panic. You're gripped with fear. Brian, I'm addicted to my cell phone. I can't put it down. I can't stop looking at it. I got to have it all the time. It's a distraction. I can't pray. We got to ask ourselves these questions. How do we do it? How do we do it? Philippians 4:6, of course, says this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and pleading, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I want to read that again. Don't be anxious about anything. That means nothing. That's hard to do. But yet he says the way to take care of that, he says, everything in prayer. Everything in prayer. I think the, what's that translation? The Passion Translation. I don't know if you ever heard of it or not. But the Passion Translation, is that one right there? I like it. I like a lot of the commentaries. I think it says, don't worry about a thing. Bring everything to God. Bring everything to God. Yeah. Pleading with thanksgiving. What would it be like if tonight when we got home, we began to thank God for everything he did for us? Even the mundane, even the things that seem so simple, we begin to thank him. We got up in the morning and began to thank God for the night. Thank him for what we went through the day before. Thank him for his faithfulness. Thank him for the time he worked that miracle. Thank him that he shows us his word. He opens it up to us and gives us revelation and speaks to ours. Thank him for the peace. Thank him for what you don't have. Thank him for what is to come yet. My nephew, who was a severe alcoholic when he got saved, or I mean not when he got saved, but when he started going to AA, and he was just couldn't decide if he was going to stay, and his wife had left him. She had another. He came home. She was with another guy, and da 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 da. And he was so distraught. And he was telling one of the older men at the AA program about it. And he says, "Steve," he says, "I want you to pray for your wife." And he goes, "Not what you're thinking." He says, "I want you to pray that God would give her everything that you want in your life." and begin to bless her and watch and see what God does in your life. And things turned around. God changed his heart. He's a Christian today. He gave his life to Christ. Praise the Lord. God is good. Yeah. Yeah. I already read Romans 8:6, so I'm not going to breathe it again. But Romans 12:1 and 2, we know this verse. But this is how. This is how we cast our cares on the Lord. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And sometimes we think, you know, just being conformed to the world means just, you know, doing the stuff. No, it's thinking like the world and taking in what the world does. Watching it on TV, watching it on the internet, listening to what the world listens to. He says, I don't want you to be like that. He says, I want you to renew your thinking. Because if we don't, church, if we don't change what we're putting in this head, we won't change what is in our heart. Yeah. You know, sometimes in my Christian life, I feel like I'm shooting myself in my Christian foot. I feel like, you know, the old song, maybe you won't agree, but if Jesus be the Lord of all, because if you're not Lord, you're not Lord at all. Or he's not the Savior of half of our life, he's the Savior of our whole life. Church, come on. It's so true. Our focus, let me tell you this much, when you're in the throw of things, I'm going to end here, I promise. I know I said that 10 minutes ago, but I promise this is it. Our focus has to be God-word. I'll say it again. Our focus has to be God-word. Your focus cannot be on your problem, because then we are trying to fix it. And it'll just bring us anxiety. It'll bring us worry. It'll drag us away from heaven. I know that many of you in here probably have incredible habits of getting up in the morning and letting nothing get in your way of sitting with God and listening to him. Right? That's where we need to get. That's where the peace is. That's where we get the peace. Amen. Amen. So, how do we do this? Well, go back to 1 Peter 5, verse 6. There it is. There's how you get there, right there. It's that simple. And boy, I tell you what. I need this as much as anybody in this room, that verse right there. How many remember Martha in the scriptures? Remember the one that Jesus said her name twice and it wasn't a good reference? Martha, Martha, you are what? You are worried about many things. That's what my mind is like. I want to read something out of my devotional. January 2nd. This is a good devotional for me, not for you. It's good for me. It says this. Relax in my presence. As you spend time with me, your thoughts tend to jump ahead to today's plans and problems. How many can identify? Bring your mind back to me for refreshment and renewal. Let the light of my presence soak into you as you focus your thoughts on me. And so I equip you to face whatever the day brings. This sacrifice of time pleases me, and it strengthens you. Don't skimp on our time together. Smile at me. Don't skimp on your time with me. The Lord says, do not skimp on your time with me. Resist the clamor of tasks that are waiting to be done. Like, I better get up and adjust that shade. Important things like that. You know what I'm saying? If you do, you have chosen what is better, and it will be not taken away from you. So, tonight, I said 5 minutes ago I was going to end, so I'm going to end. Tonight, will we give our careful life, not carefree, but our careful life that we have, will we give it to God? Will we cast everything on Him? Tell Him about it. Yes. How's that old song go? I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Really, that's where we need to be. This is something that Kirsten was talking about tonight. Tell Him about it. Talk to Him like you talk to your friend. Tell Him. Tell Him about it. Ask Him for it. If you don't have peace, ask Him for it. Focus on Him. Let the focus be Godward. If we focus on the problem, we won't get past it. We have to focus on Him. Our eyes need to be toward Him. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up together. So, you know, I look out here tonight, I love you all. You are so blessed of the Father. You are like that land that God was talking to Moses about, a land that the Lord, His eyes are upon it continually. His eyes are always on you. Yes, the Lord is talking to you tonight. His eyes are always on you for good, to take care of you from the start to the finish, from the beginning of the day to the end, from the beginning of our life till the time we die. Like Paul said, if you live long enough, you will die. But His eyes are always on us. We can bring Him anything. We can come to Him. We can tell it all to Him. But, you know, God says, hey, you have a choice to make. I want you to give your time to me. All right. Bless you all tonight. I love you so much. Bless you. The blessing of the Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus.